This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It is hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and as we do every day right here at 2 p.m., we talk about the stories that have been developing since last we talked with you, which was last night at 7 o'clock right here on 105.3 The Fan. There's Nolan Arenado updates. The Mavericks are back in action. Zion went off in the fourth quarter. There's all kinds of good stuff to be talking about here with you. The Cowboys offseason continues to churn as well. General at your service. See me, bear me, N.A. New Heineken 0.0 would be outstanding. Jeff Cavanaugh, Mike Bassick, Lucius Alexander along with you. We are the G-Bag Nation here
We're here.
The Fan.
Hi, everybody. It's nice to see you.
It's always good to be here.
I'd like to thank Matt and Dee for helping me out at the house and moving some stuff that I needed moved.
Oh, you had some guys come over and help?
Just kicking shout-outs to start the show.
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
They helped me out, man.
All right.
I've been at the house and kind of chaos is going on with finishing up projects and then getting stuff moved. And so, done.
So you wrangled a couple buddies?
Hey, Sue's not listening. I forgot. The dog's locked in a room right now that I forgot to let out.
Probably barking. Okay. Probably peeing.
Don't worry. Everywhere. One of us will get home at 9 p.m. tonight approximately. So
yeah.
Shout out to the guys that came by and cut my weeds this morning. I can't say grass because I don't think there's any actual grass out there right now. You know, it gets cold and you get those Texas weeds.
Yeah. Kids, when you get home from school, good luck. We'll see you at some point in our lives.
You want to shout anybody out, Gavin?
No, you know, I'm pretty good right now.
Lucius,
pretty good. I mean,
shout-outs.
Salute to the Tolos who are going to join us tonight at Bob's, right? We're having a dinner for Jared Sandler's deal, his swinging for a cause thing.
Gavin went with a flannel jacket.
Yeah, and a camo ball cap. You think that's good?
I don't have
to swing by a store or something before we head over there.
I think you'll be fine with, you have a collared shirt on.
Yeah.
I actually don't even have a collared shirt on, so.
Yeah, I have a collared pullover.
I don't know if we can wear hats at Bob's.
Yeah, probably not. That's fine.
We'll see. Let's just see if your piece stays on, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, that will be a concern. Speaking of concerns, Nolan Arenado saying last night, I'm going to keep getting ready for the upcoming season. I'm working hard. I will not speak on these things anymore. To me, when I hear this, I hear a guy who spoke with the team and they're going to do whatever it takes for him to be in the best spot possible to be great. And I don't know, maybe the team told him, listen, we can't trade you if you're disgruntled and playing poorly and we can't get fair value for you right now. So you're going to have to go play awesome and make people want you. And then maybe we can, you know, do the kind of trade that would make sense for all parties involved, but we're not going to give you away.
Yeah, just chill out.
Yeah.
Because when you're saying like, you're mad at us, then people think we have to give you away and we're not going to give you away. So just shut up.
Yeah.
In a nice way, you say, but if you could just, you know, just kind of hang out, sit tight. We get it. We're working on it.
So Nolan says, there's been a lot of stuff going on that nobody knows about. And I was reacting to what was said. And that was out of character for me because I'm very private with my life. The Rockies have been talking to my agent and me this offseason about a number of things that will remain between us. What do you think happened here, Mike? What's your read on the latest with Arenado?
He wants out. Colorado is saying, we made the phone calls that you wanted us to make. People aren't offering us anywhere close to what we'd want, or they're making us send 25% of your contract. Like, we're going to have to pick up 25% of your contract. And like, no. I'm sure they're saying, look, Kyle Freeland, who was pretty much an all-star in 2018, had a really bad year and was hurt. He was our best left-handed pitcher. We're getting him back from injury. Like, I think they're going to say, last year, a lot of things went wrong for us. We're not a 20-loss team. Stick with us, and hopefully they prove it. But I could see where Nolan Arenado says, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But then we get to June or July, and if they have a below 500 record, which it's going to be tough to be above 500 in the NL West, I think it's going to be a little bit more chirping, like, hey, look, I don't like it here. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And so then Colorado's going to have more pressure on them if they don't get off to a good first half.
Well, it's anxious times for Rangers fans because, you know, pitchers and catchers are going to be out there in surprise real soon, and we need a spark with this ball club. You know, we need a catalyst in the lineup. I saw these projections from FanGraphs earlier. They did sort of a, hey, based on what's happened so far with personnel, And they said the Rangers are going to be about a 79-win team next year. They're about exactly the same team as maybe your best-case scenario is a little bit better with the pitchers that you added, but we're still waiting for the change.
I know WAR isn't perfect. I wonder what Nick Castellanos, like, if you just take his WAR, does that mean how many do we go up? Because honestly, I guess you take what Guzman's WAR is versus Castellanos' WAR and take the number, and maybe that adds four more wins. So that would take you to 83-ish.
Well, that was about two last year, Castellanos.
Okay.
Get you a couple. One and a half.
That would bring their projected wins against replacement from their starting lineup up to 12.5 or 13.
Yeah.
Because last year it was like 9.2. Mm. This year they projected to be around 11. So, I mean, the lineup's pretty bad.
It is not balanced. And look, we did it the other day. They named it. It's all projections right now, but they named eight teams that they think are here's our four best offenses we believe in the American League, and here are the four teams that could push one of these teams out. And the Rangers weren't on that list. Hmm. So that's why I think adding a guy like Castellanos, and I think teams moved on from Arenado, even the Rangers. They went and signed Todd Frazier. I think that was their backup plan. And once they got the nose from Colorado, they signed Todd Frazier. St. Louis moved on and moved forward. We saw Josh Donaldson end up already signing. We saw Marcell Ozuna go to the Atlanta Braves. I think the Braves were looking at Nolan Arenado and finally got the no and said, okay, well, let's use a little bit of our money here to go get Ozuna. So I think just tying it all together, Arenado's gone, but I still think the Rangers can put themselves in a position where you'd say, hey, if you put Castellanos in this lineup batting third in between Willie Calhoun batting second and Joey Gallo batting fourth, and then you make sure that guys like Elvis and Odor, nothing against them, but we make sure that they're not in our middle of the lineup, then it makes the lineup look a lot better. Like one more guy, but one more good guy, to me, I could say, hey, maybe they push into one of the better lineups in the American League. Not up there with the best, but a better lineup.
All right, we'll keep you updated here on your home of the Rangers, and we will be in Surprise, Arizona. I believe our first show there will be March 9th, and maybe Sean and RJ there the week before. It'll be a huge week of broadcasting. It always is with spring training bringing so much excitement, but NFL free agency is just on fire for that period of time as well, so we hope you can tune in for that. Mavericks back in action tonight. They visit the Trailblazers at 9. The big question is, what are we hearing about Porzingis at shoot-around? So far, nothing. Scouring the internet, Twitter. And, you know, usually by now, if there had been any complications with the night before or the game before, I think you would have heard about it, Mike. And
I think so, too.
You know, hey, maybe I'm making too big of a deal out of this, but when he tried to come back last week and couldn't do it, I was worried about what happens when he does play one game, and now it feels like he's clearing the hurdle.
I wonder if this is – I think that he's going to be healthy at least tonight to play, that I don't think if his knee's bugging him that it'll just take one game for him to go on the shelf for another week or 3 weeks. But I just wonder this, with the pressure of not having Dwight Powell now the rest of the season – if they look at Porzingis when he's just like a little bit, like he's like, my knee's bugging me just a little bit. Or if they're going to go, hey, let's just be careful. Let's keep.
Oh, yeah, got to be careful.
I think so too. But would you say, hey, we don't have anybody to play your position. Unless you're really hurt, you got to give us 25 minutes tonight.
In this era of load management, Porzingis should be getting the most consideration in these situations. Okay. Oh,
I agree with you. I'm just throwing out the other side when sometimes organizations can go, hey, are you really hurt? Because at this point, we don't have any protection if you're hurt. We're probably going to just get out-rebounded by 10 to 20 rebounds tonight if you can't play.
There was something else I read today. I'm not sure exactly where it was, but it was about Porzingis and how 2 weeks before he tore his ACL, he told the Knicks, guys, I'm wearing down. I'm tired. And they're like, you know, keep playing. And Phil Jackson was like, guys, he can't handle the workload of being a superstar. We can't ride him like he's a Husky in the Iditarod. 2 weeks later, he tears his ACL. Mm. So I think it's probably really good practice, and I do believe the Mavs are probably going with this. Any sign of fatigue or any tweak, you know, it's shutdown time. All this stuff doesn't matter.
That's right.
Yeah,
right thing to do. You just take your losses pretty much.
And totally.
And you probably say, hey,
you're still pretty good without him.
Luka, and You know, it's funny because the other night they were talking about Zion last night, and they're like, you know, eventually he needs to get to 35 minutes. And I'm like, you know, it's interesting. We don't even get Luka to 35 minutes a night.
No, eventually you got to get him to the conference finals and then let him play 45 minutes a night fresh, not wound down and grind to a halt. You know, it's really honorable, I think, what LeBron and C.J. McCollum and some of the other stars do, talking about we're players and we play all 82, and the fact that Jordan did it and all that, that was great. But we're getting so much science that suggests those guys were able to do it because they were freakish. That's not normal to be able to do that. So I you know, maybe you don't get the top end. It's like baseball, right? We're on this load management in baseball, and now we don't see the guys go the insane amount of innings and prove that they can do it for 10 years.
Cowards.
We might not ever see basketball players pushed into the low 40s on average for an entire season, and that's unfortunate. But the other side effect is you'll have a lot less, I think, wear and tear type of injuries. So Mavs will visit Portland tonight, Utah Saturday, and OKC Monday, so a pretty good little three-game road trip here to test themselves.
I mean, honestly, I want 1-2. Anything better than 1-2, I'm going to be – if they win 2 out of 3 of those games, I'm going to be really happy. Getting swept, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, it's over. I'm just going to be like, oh, okay, you know, it's just – kind of building our team, and it's going to take a few years to build our team up to handle these situations.
There is a report by Yahoo Sports that the Mavs are interested in Andre Drummond. So I know we had the report from Brad Townsend – seemed like a month or maybe more ago, 6 weeks ago, that they weren't.
Mexico game.
But did it change?
I'm still anti-Andre Drummond, by the way.
Why?
I just don't – I hate the fit. I get it. I get the role that you want him to play. I just don't know how that works when it seems like the whole goal of the offense is let Luka create, and if they're going to let him get to the basket, it's a layup, and if they're not, it's an open three, and we're like, all right, we're going to plant a tree here. He's going to hang out there.
He's not slow, though. He's really athletic.
Yeah.
Jumps higher. I mean, I don't know if he jumps higher, but he gets as high as Dwight Powell. I mean, there's no difference when Dwight Powell's healthy.
So you just make him the pick and roll guy.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is what are we going to – and I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all. I mean, I saw Jokic just – I was at the game when he's like, oh, you guys are going to be dumbasses and put a 6'8", 140-pound guy on me?
It's not 140.
I'm just going to walk down and put the ball in the basket and go, why did you guys put a kindergartner on me with the game on the line? And so I'm not saying that solves everything, but I do think the Mavs, it's tough because they want a guy that's strong enough to be able to guard Jokic and Dwight Howard and whoever it is. I'm not saying Dwight Howard's a good player. But
and stand at the three-point line and shoot.
Yeah, they need that in one player, and that's going to be so tough to find.
I am curious to know how strong they are on wanting that type of big now. The extreme end could be, we only have room for one guy that can't shoot on our team, and that's Boban, right? And we'll use you in very few matchups where the other team is just massive. But now that you don't have Powell, I think you have to be a lot more open-minded and say, okay, we just need a talent here, and it might not be the perfect fit, but it's not like you're going to be tied to Andre Drummond and won't have salary cap space. It's 2021 that you really need to worry about having the space, right?
There's nobody available this offseason unless you want Andre Drummond. He's the number one free agent on the market.
If you could get him for the second rounder and Courtney Lee's contract, you'd be in great shape.
Yes, if you could do something like that, obviously you'd have to add a little bit more
salary. I'd be back in on him.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think you'd be in on him, Jeff, because we can't really give up much to get him. We can't give him a first-round pick.
That's true.
We're not going to trade him Porzingis or Luka. So if you look at
I think Jeff's point is true for, like, long-term team building.
Yeah.
Like, is Drummond the guy that you want to have be a part of your core long-term?
But if you trade for him, aren't you going to find out? Aren't you going to pay him?
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, not necessarily.
Well, he'd be a free agent.
You don't have to give up a ton. It might just be a,
well,
let's see, let's kick the tires.
I'm not saying they're winning championships, but wouldn't he do what Clint Capella does for Houston and just get us 16 points and 16 rebounds and 2 block shots a game?
I'd really, you know, be interested to see what Rick Carlisle could do
to
with
that point. Houston did look and see, like, hey, what can we get for Clint Capella in the offseason? Because they want to run even a more extreme 3-point offense.
I like pushing into the future, but, you know, 16 rebounds is 16 rebounds. Zion went off, had 17 straight in the fourth quarter, ends up 8 of 11 shooting, 22 points in just 18 minutes of action, playing in 4-minute bursts. And you could see he's a special talent. It wasn't just the points, but his ability to pass, his insane explosion. You know, the only other place I've seen explosion and change of direction that just leaves people standing still is Lamar Jackson. You know, I think you're talking about quick twitch on a whole nother level, but then he brings the power as well. So, and then he's very mature, very much like Luka, in a guy who's wise beyond his years and able to hold court around people twice his age and sort of be in charge of the conversation. So I think he checks a ton of superstar boxes, and, you know, it energized the NBA community to have him debut last night.
That was awesome for the 3.5 minutes. Watching the first three quarters, you're like, okay, I mean, it's going to take some time, and he's really out of shape. And like Mark Jackson and Van Gundy were saying, like, that body needs to lose a lot of weight if it's going to last an NBA season. And then you had the explosion where you saw, here's all the talent in the world. Yeah. You can be right there with Luka and the Greek Freak and all the young guys that, like, you're going to own the NBA for the next 10 to 12 years. His issue is can that body hold up? But, man, making all those three-pointers, you know, let me ask you this. Over under for the year, he's 4 for 4, 33% three-point shooting.
Oh, under.
Year.
I'll go over. Okay. Because I remember, not that he took a ton of them, but if I remember right, I think he was a better three-point shooter in college than he kind of got credit for. Like, he wasn't known for it, but he wasn't a bad three-point shooter.
Yeah, you know, I think 33 is a good over-under number.
Yeah.
And he did shoot a lot of them in his time off because he was unable to be active. Giannis was asked for advice today. He told him, don't rush the process. You're going to be a beast. The whole league knows you're going to be a beast. Just take it step by step and day by day. All right, so we have another kind of force of nature in pro sports, and he disappointed for three quarters, but then, bam, he announced his presence with authority. Antonio Brown update, details on the assault and why the warrant has been issued. That's next in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Oh, wow, a ton of new info in on Antonio Brown since we last talked about this story. Last 48 hours or so, it's been developing. Segments brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call Frankel and Frankel, 214-333-3333, or go online to frankelfirm.com. So, yeah, his trainer who was there with him was arrested on the tail end of the situation 2 days ago. So there was an arrest report that went public yesterday.
Okay.
So we started to get some of the details in. And
that guy was willing to go outside when they knocked?
I think he stayed outside
okay. When
the police arrived. Well, at least that's what the police report says. According to the arrest report, when the delivery guy arrived at Brown's house, Brown refused to make payment for the delivery. This is such a crazy part of the things that these incidents have in common, is refusing to pay for services or goods is a common thing here.
Not used to it.
Yeah, he's like, well, I don't want to pay you. So the driver left. As the victim was driving off, Brown picked up a rock and threw it at the victim's vehicle, according to the police report, causing a small dent and paint chip on the driver's side door. Then the report reads that Brown agreed to pay the money, as well as extra money, to cover the damages and the driver's time. But when the driver came back, he refused to pay the extra cash. I'm not paying the extra for the damages. The arrest report for the trainer said another argument erupted. Brown stepped up into the cabin of the vehicle and started to grab and pull on the victim. The altercation between Brown and the victim caused the victim to have a ripped shirt and multiple abrasions. Police said the victim suffered multiple scratches. According to the report, Holt approached the driver a short time later, grabbed the keys from the delivery truck, cut the driver's hand, and then unlocked the truck. Brown and several friends then began to unload items from the truck.
Oh!
Some of the boxes did not belong to him.
Nice.
When the driver told Brown about those boxes, Brown allegedly threw them back in the truck, causing some property damage. And when the police arrived, Brown retreated inside his home and did not come out. Holt was arrested and charged with burglary and battery. He bonded out of jail. This was late last night. So you might have heard those details this morning if you were, you know, paying attention to the story. It's been developing a little bit. The other angles on it, his ex-girlfriend, the mother of his three, I should say, beautiful children.
He refers to her as Fish Face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fish Face is filing, seeking sole custody of the three children, claiming the embattled wide receiver's recent actions demonstrate an inability to make decisions in the best interest. I think that's a no-brainer if you're if you're the custody, if you're the judge in that one. Chelsea Curis is her name?
Fish face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alleges Brown continues to demonstrate an incapacity to make decisions in the best interest of the minor children. The kids aged 5, 4, and 2 are. She's also asking that they only be allowed supervised visits there with their father, Antonio Brown. It's imperative to the safety and welfare that the petitioner be awarded sole parental responsibility. So, yeah, you know, and then it goes on to say, you know, my hope is that Antonio will help and seek the mental health treatment that he so desperately needs. I think it's really lining up now with his ex-wife, with his former agent, with everybody. But he's on
the
Twitter.
Cook too. The cook left, man.
No way.
Come on, you're getting a check just to be there and make some grilled cheese sandwiches and you
probably,
gone.
You can't stop getting checks.
Good luck. Might have. Yeah, I'll pay you in grilled cheese sandwiches that you make. But yeah, now it's lining up in a way, but he's still on Twitter saying, man, they're still trying to slander me, you know? So,
oh yeah, of course.
What is going on? Holy cow. So with that, when somebody says the guy is high, he smoked, and that's why he's assaulting me, would you think he's talking about weed?
No.
Maybe not. I don't know. Smoking cigarettes can get you kind of irritable. Hell, I don't know. But TMZ has obtained the 911 call. And in it, the driver claims, quote, the guy is high. He smoked. He threatened me. He's trying to fight. He threw stones at my truck. I'm trying to make a delivery to the gentleman. I called him and told him he has to pay the balance. The guy refused to pay. So the truck driver described why Brown and his trainer attacked
him. Truck driver and a doctor now? He smoked, he's high, he's doing this, he's doing that. He doesn't know what's going on with that man.
I know this guy's high.
You don't know what he's smoking.
Yeah.
I see your eyes when they don't open all the way. I know what's going on out there.
It's a good point.
No, a toker and a drinker.
There's a lot of value in trying to hold yourself to only saying things you know for a fact to be true, especially about other people, you know? Sometimes your adrenaline really gets pumping and, you know, you're on the phone with 911 or whatever and your mind's racing. The guy looks crazy. Now, maybe he did actually see him smoke. Maybe Antonio Brown came out smoking. I don't know.
All I can think of throughout this whole thing is 3 years ago. I have to go back 3 years, but 3 years ago, I'm like, this is the best receiver in the game. And I didn't know he was crazy. And maybe he's not crazy today. Maybe he wasn't crazy then. Maybe he was crazy then, and we just don't know Antonio Brown at all, you know, throughout his life. We just know him as a football player. But it made me think throughout this whole thing, when did this change? When did Antonio Brown, at least through public consumption, go from a normal person to everything is like crazy in his life?
The joke is, and I don't know if it's a joke, is when Vontaze Burfict knocked him unconscious on a football field.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was like before that.
That might have been it.
But we do know that he's absolutely a crazy person now that needs a lot of help.
You know, with Charlie Sheen, which is about the only close thing, he had been abusing drugs or whatever, but there was like a spark that made him famous, and all of a sudden the attention put him in a state of manic energy, and he kept feeding it and feeding it, similar to LeVar Ball. And LeVar Ball was intoxicated on that attention and whatever that was. It was weird, and it kept snowballing and going in weird directions. And then it fizzled out like months later. It finally did fizzle out. And now when LeVar Ball talks, it's much more measured. And there might be a little bit of element of that, but it's not commanding his entire personality. Yeah. So I don't know, Mike. It's weird when guys get going like this.
I think he could still be the best receiver in the game, at least in the conversation, but he just...
Yeah, but he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, nobody will touch it.
Yeah, I don't think he'll even get a training camp.
You need a massive apology followed up by a diagnosis and then an entire offseason spent getting treatment.
You think a team won't touch him?
I believe that.
I think they'll touch him.
I think they'll still go for it.
Already showed they have no morality, bro. They'll go for it.
His agent won't touch him. Who has worse morals than an agent?
Get a new agent. Like, they'll touch him, man. These teams are desperate.
They might try again. Wasn't
there a report that they was, matter of fact, hold on, let me do my Googles. I think there was a report already that somebody was looking at him.
The Saints worked him out not too long ago, and then he accused them of something about I don't even remember what he said about them, but everywhere that he goes, if you don't sign him, then you hate him and he's being framed for something.
Yeah, I think it's escalated since the team last gave him an opportunity. I think what it would take is an offseason of, you know, a lot of work, and then he would get that second chance if it was like, hey, you know, my bad. That was a crazy year, wasn't it? But yeah. I saw the light or whatever, or I went and talked to this therapist, and now, bam, I'm ready for another shot.
I think he'd legitimately be the first player maybe in the history of the league where he said, hey, we will sign you, but you are not allowed in our facility. You will not practice with our team. On Sunday, we'll show you on a card what route you're running, and you can sit by yourself.
We'll see you on game day. All right, it's time for the G-Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all, vote on which one we like the best, and that is the G-Bag of the Day. Lucius Alexander standing by. Who is the champion?
I have to stop my Googles for a second. All right, Grandpa having a meltdown at the tollway the other day.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Grandpa. He had his grandkids in the car, too. They thought this was funny.
Okay, I'm terribly sorry, sir. It's 70 cents.
The quarters will not go in the slot.
They will now, sir.
They will now.
Yes, because you didn't have a price put up there.
Okay, are we done now?
You have 20 more cents.
You said 70 cents. I put in three quarters.
Okay, one must have followed through.
But no. Well, yeah, I did follow through. For God. This is unbelievable.
This is me in 20 years.
Okay, all right. Sure. It fell through again.
Okay.
I don't have another quarter.
Okay, try to bring that one more time.
Ah, dear God, I did it again.
Okay, put the
pressure
face around.
What? I can't help it. God bless it. What the hell's the matter with this damn machine?
Okay, now it's working.
Keep your dollar. You get your dollar back? No. Yeah, you get your dollar.
Take the change.
Bro, Shane, I don't even want the God. Change up. Stupid mother! Oh. God, quarter didn't work.
Wow.
What kind of grease do I have to have? God Almighty!
I think it's grandkids. His grandkids are laughing and recording.
I loved it.
It's amazing how he takes such great care to not cuss at points in that video. God bless it and stuff. And then at other points, he's just completely unhinged. It's like, oh, I'm in front of my kids. I better not cuss that bad. And then other times, like, screw the kids.
He went from pretty calm to losing it, like, when he was like, oh, it did go through. Yeah, yes,
unfortunately,
there is my
I can
quarter.
Relate to that.
What's that? You're a little late?
I said I can relate.
Oh, yeah. Relate. That's your brand, bro. Yeah. That is definitely your brand, homie.
Just going from zero to a million.
It happens, man. It happens. Okay, who's challenging Grandpa this afternoon, Lucius?
There was a motorist that almost T-boned a guy on a motorcycle. They were both going kind of fast. And instead of flipping each other off and getting into some weird fight, they did this.
Yeah. It's okay. You didn't see me. It's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Take a deep breath.
Sorry.
I'm very sorry.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping. It's okay. Thank you.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. Thank you.
Okay.
I was going too fast. That's my fault. That could have been bad. Yeah. Thank you for stopping, sir.
Yes.
Be safe. I'll do the same. Thank you.
Okay, slow down, and I'll slow down too.
Thank you.
Okay, we're good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have a good day, sir.
I didn't like that.
You didn't like that?
They didn't cuss each other out. He didn't stab him. Nothing.
You were here for the dumbness.
Didn't call him a name. Didn't pull a whole gun.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's strong right there. Boy, I had not... You know, one of those moments of time where you're like, okay, if things had gone just a little bit different, a massive injury could have happened. That happened to me like a month ago. I didn't even talk about it on the air because it was like that horrifying. But when it happened, I was there with another dad. And we just looked at each other. Our eyes were massive. You know, everybody was safe. But we looked at each other, and I just put my hand on his shoulder, and we just sat there looking at each other for like a half a minute, like, yo, dude, that was so wild. Our entire life could have been so massively different, like this very second. based on what just happened like 60 seconds ago. And your mind is just incredibly blown, you know?
The two of you are the ones driving when it almost happened?
No, we were watching. Oh, we were watching. We were watching our kids. We were watching our kids play, and it almost, you know, got a little, maybe, you know, a little unnecessary, you know, a little too much speed was going on. And
okay.
Had a situation. I can see why some people, you know, react in that moment because it is so terrifying that we almost died or almost witnessed death. But those guys there, they went the other way with it. And that's strong right there. That should get G-Bag of the Day because that should play as a PSA during the Super Bowl.
Put some sauce on it, dog.
Billions of people got to see
that. Put some damn sauce on it, bro.
Not here for that. No clothesline, no spear, nothing.
Who else is challenging?
We got an NBA 2K gamer. He broke his control online. Well, playing online. I messed that all up. Hold on.
Did he break his controller, maybe?
Yeah.
You think he broke his controller?
Grooving off this coffee. Black coffee got me grooving. That's why I got this water. I need to slow down over here. All right. Yeah, so this guy is playing a game, NBA 2K, and he breaks his darn controller because he lost. How about it?
How do I say goodbye?
It's a lot of F words.
How do I?
Game mode's unfair, bro. It's literally who can glitch the hardest, bro. They don't give you none of your nations in this, bro. This is unfair. This is unfair. My triceps are gone. I got like three moves. I can't do.
I got three moves.
I can't do. And my mode is this. This is not fair, bro. All my part moves are gone, bro.
What?
Who knows?
Who knows? I ain't that advanced in the game.
They put a game on it here and take out 80% of your f***ing moves. Can do two f***ing things, bro.
I can do three.
I hate this f***ing game, bro. This is the worst f***ing copy they ever f***ing made. Wrote that f***ing, but you think I only got a second one?
Feel like an idiot. It's okay. I got a second one. I'll break it, too.
Thing I'm most proud of at video gaming is that I'm honest with people. Most people lie in a team game. Like I play the shooter games.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, he's one shot. You got him, buddy. Because your teammate just got killed by a guy. And they're like, but I got him all the way down. He's one shot. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I don't have a lot of health, but if he's one shot, I got you. And you hit him like 9 times and then you die. And you're like, hey, about what you said. Like, did you just say that to make me think that you did a good job? Because you put me in a bad spot.
That's funny. Okay, is it Grandpa, our one-time champ? Is it the motorist almost T-boning a motorbike? Or is it the NBA 2K gamer, Mike?
Grandpa.
Gassed you up, bro. I'm sorry, Jeff.
It's every player at all times.
Gassed you
He's
up.
He's one shot. I tore him up. Get him.
You come running around the corner, hit firing. Oh, this is no problem.
Yeah, one touch. I got him, right?
Put the battery on your back, brother. I'm going with Grandpa.
2-0 for Grandpa Jeff.
Video game kid.
By a score of 2-1, I'm going the motorist. You guys are crazy.
We forgot
for liking
to make
this.
Him vote first.
The damn grandpa.
Yeah. You know he wanted to say 2-1.
I'm sorry. They're obsessed with this grandpa who's now a 2-time G-Bag of the Day champion. Tune in tomorrow. See if we can make it 3 in his pursuit of 5. Mike's segment's coming up next. Where are you going with it?
Well, there's another rumor out there. The Mavs are trying to trade for this guy.
The front runner.
Okay, we got Cowboys news of the day coming up at 3 o'clock right now. Mike Bassick has a segment for us.
Whew, okay, so I can't get enough of NBA rumors. And if you don't know, February 7th, I believe, is the trade deadline. So it's coming up quicker than you think. It used to be after the All-Star game. Like you had the All-Star game and then you had a week or two just a few years ago and they moved it up a year or so ago. And so it comes a little bit quicker now in the NBA when you have to make that decision on what you're going to do. I have multiple articles here. I will start off with the Danilo Gallinari one as I'm clicking on 17 different things here, but it was reported on The Ringer that the Mavericks and Sixers are the teams most interested in Danilo Gallinari. So he's 6'10", 230 pounds, 19 points a game. 6 rebounds approximately a game.
How are we shooting from 3?
Very good. I think he's made at least a 3-point shot in 13 straight games,
Let's
which
go.
Is
41%. Let's go.
Is something that the Mavs really like. Here's the issue. I'll go to the Sixers. I'll go to the positive. I'll just use the positive here. In the article that I was reading from Philadelphia on this, because I'm like, what would Philadelphia give Oklahoma City? And it said it would probably have to be Al Horford. Would have to be the major piece. Well, what is Oklahoma City if they have a zillion draft picks over the next 6 to 8 years and they're trying to somewhat rebuild a little bit, even though they have a good record this year? Why would they want a guy making over $100 million who's 33 years old over the next 4 seasons, this year and 3 more? So Al Horford, to me, for Oklahoma City, I'm trying to figure out, how does that make sense for Oklahoma City to take on Al Horford?
Unless they're just thinking, we're not going to rebuild, you know? We have Chris Paul playing well and Gilgeous Alexander playing well. If, you know, if we could get Horford, you know, now we have a player for an expiring deal. And, hey, we're going to try to be a playoff team and hope that all of the other teams whose draft picks we have are going to be in the top 10.
Okay, let me throw this at you. Do you think Al Horford is better than Danilo Gallinari?
I'd rather have him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me throw this scenario at you, because I'm like, does Oklahoma City really want Al Horford? And you bring up a great point. Maybe they're like, hey, we didn't know we were going to be, you know, 7-8 games over 500 at the halfway point. Let's not go for it. But if teams are going to give us a little bit better player than Gallinari and we get to have him for 3 more years, and kind of if we need to trade him to a contender because we fall out of contender status in the next year or two, so be it. We have 5 first-round picks coming from LA. We have another couple coming from the Houston Rockets. We have all of our picks available. So, I mean, they are loaded. They have about 12 first-round picks in the next 6 to 8 years that they're going to be using to rebuild that team. We talked about Gilgeous Alexander the other day. He's turning into a borderline all-star player at 21 years old. What if we did this for Gallinari? What if Oklahoma City were to say, and I don't know, I have no clue what Oklahoma City is doing or not doing. What if they're like, we don't really want Al Horford because he's older and we're trying to build something over the next 5 to 7 years. Would you guys be interested in making it a 3-way trade where you send stuff to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City sends Gallinari up to Philadelphia because they're horrible at 3-point shooting, led by their made 2 3-pointers, I think, in his whole career, Ben Simmons, and Al Horford comes to the Dallas Mavericks.
First, we would have to realize there's no T in Horford, and then I would make the trade.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's kind of tough, man. I mean, I'd rather have Horford this year than Gallinari, but the long term, Horford's going to eat up a lot of your cap space, right, when you're trying to sign Greek Freak, right?
100%, and this is where, looking into this, we're kind of spitballing this. I wanted your opinion on this, because the Mavericks had a chance to get Al Horford. I took out the T.
You nailed it!
Okay. They had a chance, and when they said, hey, when the agent said, here's the deal, Mavs, we think you guys are an up-and-coming team, but we need 4 years, and we need $100 million for you to be in the in the conversation. And the Mavericks are like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, we thought we were interested, but we were interested in, like, a 2-year contract.
Yeah.
Sets up for a Greek
Gallinari's 2 years younger. And
yeah, and he has an expiring contract. So I just wanted to throw that out, that the Mavericks could, if Oklahoma City decides we would rather work with Philadelphia on a trade, then does Oklahoma City, how much do they want Al Horford? But then we have to go back to the offseason when the Mavericks had an opportunity to just outright sign Al Horford and decided 4 years and $100 million is just too much money. So I don't know why that would change for the Dallas Mavericks.
Gallinari, anyway, you know, I think that's one you could end up really, really regretting as he starts to approach his mid-30s with his injury history.
Yeah.
I mean, between him and Porzingis, it could be the Luka show quite often.
Yeah, you just made me look that up right before the segment. I was like, oh my gosh, 71 games in the last 10 years is the most games he's ever played in a season, and it's usually he plays in the high 50s or low 60s for a season. So you're going to, if you got Gallinari for the rest of the year, you'd have to just presume, you'd have to say, hey, there's probably a good chance he misses 7 to 10 games the rest of the way, because that's just the way his body is with an 82 game season. Next thing in the article in the Ringer, it says, look, it's known that the Mavericks have made multiple attempts to get Robert Covington, and the Timberwolves have turned down every offer. They're not interested in what the Mavericks have. And it said in the article, kind of, it makes them wonder, the Mavs being interested in Gallinari, if the Timberwolves aren't interested in what the Mavericks have to offer, then what would make the Oklahoma City Thunder, right behind the Dallas Mavericks, I think 2 games back of the Mavericks in the standings, I think Oklahoma City's in 7th, and we're in 5th right now today, and I think Houston's in 6th, if I have the standings right, is what would make Oklahoma City look at all of our role players the way Minnesota looked at all our role players and go, you don't have anybody that's young and upcoming. You don't have any draft picks to give us. So what would Oklahoma City look at the Mavericks and go, oh, but that is something that we really want?
I mean, this West is kind of tough on the trade market right now because so many teams are involved.
Yeah.
I mean, the 8 seed's like under 500 by 2 or 3 games right now. Yeah, I think best case scenario is Iguodala because the Grizzlies have wanted a first-round pick for Andre.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get it, so now the next wave of offers as the deadline approaches is going to be twos, and the Mavs probably have the best two right now with Golden State.
Okay, so this is interesting from CBS Sports right now. It lists all the kind of West contenders and what their best-case scenario is going forward for the next 3 weeks when we get to the trade deadline. And it says, I guess 2 weeks, Mavericks – do absolutely nothing is their best case scenario. And Gavin, I think you'll like this. And Jeff, you might like this too after discussing Andre Drummond earlier in the show. The Mavericks are about to face 2 weeks of torturous temptation with Dwight Howard now sidelined. They have minutes at center to fill. Another wing defender would be helpful as well, but it says later in the little article on the Mavericks, they need to take a bigger view of this. The future is awesome for the Dallas Mavericks, and they shouldn't be looking to do trades that could hurt their future.
There you go.
Just because they have done more than what people thought in the 2019-2020 season. So at least CBS Sports is saying the Mavs should do nothing, even though they'll be very tempted to do something because of the Dwight Powell injury. They need to look more at the next couple years, not this season.
If any move or combination of moves could open up a legitimate championship window for you, you take it. But until then, I'm not doing anything until 2021. Kawhi's going to be a free agent. Giannis, Paul George, Bradley Beal, legit straight free agent. Yeah. Rudy Gobert. You know, these are the kind of players that, and Luka is so young, Porzingis is so young, you don't have to be in a hurry one bit.
Yeah.
You can hope to be the young team that wins a couple of playoff series, you steal something early and you get yourself valuable experience, but you don't have to try to go force anything.
I think after reading CBS, I'm not saying the Mavs shouldn't make a trade. Like you're saying, if something presents itself that's awesome, you do it. But if we just have to say, hey, skinny little Justin Jackson, you're going to have to play power forward for us 20 minutes a night. It's just the way it's going to be.
You just bring Kenneth Faried back from China or wherever he is, or you put Joakim Noah out there, whatever.
Yeah, and honestly, those aren't bad ideas either. About 2 hours ago, Mark Stein, who always is unbelievable with Mavericks and what they're trying to do, he tweeted out, the Mavericks are in a similar position after the season-ending loss of front court mainstay Dwight Powell. He's actually talking somewhat about the Clippers are looking to add some front court depth to their team because they feel like they need to get a little bit stronger if they're going to win the title. It says Dallas was already in the market for a wing upgrade, and league sources say is exploring its options for a move, trade, or signing to bolster its front line as well. So when Mark Stein is tweeting something, though, recently, like the Mavs are trying to do something right now, I just think we need to keep our eyes and ears open. Because I think the Mavs are trying to do something right now, but hopefully they are in line with that article that says, hey, don't mess up the future just because Dwight Powell got hurt and you're afraid that you need to do something right now.
Okay, 1 hour down, 4 to go here. I totally agree with that last thing you said right there, Mike. Cowboys news of the day, though. What Troy Aikman thinks of the direction of the Cowboys offense with Kellen calling the shots going into year two. That's next in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Can we talk about my friends at Premier Grilling before we do anything else? Oh, yeah, we will. But let me tell you, it's winning time. Text the word SHOUT to 72881. Shout to 72881. That's your chance to win $1,000 in this national Turn It On, Leave It On contest. Shout to 72881. You'll have another chance coming up in the 3 o'clock hour on your Turn It On, Leave It On radio station, 105.3 The Fam.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.